Rolling next week, we'll have Miriam speaking. No pressure. Okay, Ed. Ed's got an interesting word. This is a word that will make us think tonight, I tell you. Okay. So we've got our thinking caps on, everybody, and our being ready to be challenged. So let's we reach out our hands and just pray for a blessing on Ed and this word. Lord God, we thank you for Ed. We thank you for his love for you, his heart for you, and just what you've placed on his mind to bring tonight. I pray you'd anoint it and bless it and speak to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Interesting word. Ooh. To start with, has anyone seen Michael McIntyre's Big Show? Yeah? So you know how he starts with, today we're going to have big stars, big laughs, and even bigger surprises. And everyone goes crazy each time. As I was kind of preparing this, I kind of felt like I needed to preempt you what's coming up. So if I could get some big whoops and big hollers every time I say these next three things, that'd be really, really appreciated. So tonight, we're going to have big Bible verses, big analogies, and even bigger questions. Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel better already. Teague is a great platform for hearing testimonies and sharing stories of what God's done. You can't argue with testimony. And it's great hearing story after story after story of what God has done. I love the chats that the after God has acted sort of thing, because your house looks a bit like this when you're doing the after God has spoken story. You know, it's tidy. Now that you've been through what you've gone through, it looks good. I mean, you've got the view at the back. Nobody knows all the mess that you went through. And it looks nice. My message is not that message. Next slide, please. This is what my mind looks like. And that's a real couple of photos. I have two beautiful boys who can create that. They are for hire. Like, if you want your kitchen looking like that. This is what my mind looks like. Tonight is therapy for me. With my mind, we got baking powder mixed with food coloring, mixed with children's toys, all like just cluttered in some random muddle. There's Milo on the floor over there. But thank goodness the bananas are where they're supposed to be. That's what my mind is supposed to look like, the bananas in place. So tonight, you are my counselors. You're going to listen to me rant about my life. Except I'm not going to be paying you counselor wages. Actually, I don't know what Marie charges, but I remember asking one counselor what they charged, and they said it's $100 per hour. I had no issues from then on. I was sorted. I didn't have anything to talk about. Marie may have a different wage, but that's okay. Anyway, tonight actually, it is a bit of therapy for me. I'm going to talk about the kind of the crossroads, the mental crossroads God's brought me to, the mess of it all, because he hasn't sorted it out yet. We'll see where we go, and maybe I'll come out having learned something. So to start with, I'm going to talk a bit about our journey with road cycling, where we're up to at the moment. So for those of you who don't know, 5.5 years ago, my wife and I started on a journey. We bought roadcycling.co.nz, which is the largest media outlet for cycling in the country. It's a barrel of laughs. It's great fun. Really enjoy it. And the dream was that we would get to a point where I could do it full time. I'd be able to go travel around the world as a family. We'd be able to go to events like the Tour de France. So even if you don't know cycling, you know the Tour de France. It's one of the coolest events out there. It's like I want to see France just because I've seen that race. It's beautiful. It's a huge spectacle. It's controversial. It's scandalous, and it's epic. Cycling is wonderful, and that's what I've pursued for the last 5.5 years. When we started off, we approached it with what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen, we fail. The business didn't go anywhere, and we have to move on. That is the worst that can happen. And it's been, the last 5.5 years has been great. I've got to meet some amazing people, go to some epic races. I've been in communication with and related, building relationships with some of the best athletes in our country and around the world. It's awesome. And it's coming to an end. Because the worst has happened. And it's not gone as we dreamt it would. There are a few reasons behind it coming to an end. Financially, it's a very hard beast to sustain when you're doing a full-time job and trying to balance that. It's become harder as the years have gone on, not easier, which is not really the direction. You don't want to go down as your business goes on and on. You're kind of hoping for an upward trajectory. Also, like, we came back home from the UK a little while ago, and one of the most powerful things that came out of that for me was how much I love my family and how much I enjoy spending time with them. And I got to a place, and actually I'll talk about it a bit later, but even GP had a bit of an input in that. He doesn't know it yet. I couldn't continue being the dad that got home from work with the kids knowing that once dad gets home from work, he keeps working. I couldn't do that. And I can't keep doing that. So this passion and this dream and this goal is, as beloved Pastor Cheryl was saying earlier this afternoon, it's dying a death. So when I say therapy, I'm saying it with a smile on my face. It hurts at the moment because I love it. It's what as a family, we've had to pour ourselves into it, and there are so many good things that have happened. But the end of this journey for us has brought me to a crossroads to face some really tough questions. Questions like, you know, what's a life win? How will I know if I'm being successful or significant? And how will I know that I've lived well? Because I've got dreams. Like, on top of the business dream, I'm like, I want to be mortgage free. Anyone else? Hey. I'd like to travel. Like, the holiday to the UK was great. The bug is well and truly bitten. I want to go again. The dream career, I want to become an author. I want to write books. And we want to extend our house. And if I take those questions of, you know, what's a life win in the context of those dreams, and I can generally ask them to kind of, if life is a boxing ring analogy, I can ask it to two corners. In the blue corner, I've got culture, society, social media, and humanity. And in the red corner, I have Jesus. If I ask these questions and bring my dreams and ask, you know, what's it all mean? Is it going anywhere? Am I being successful? The blue corner has plenty to say. You know, the mortgage-free idea, you know, it can encourage you in that. And we know we've got the 50 steps book for how to get you there. The holidays, you know, just take out this credit card and load it up and you'll be away. Happy as Larry. Authorship, we've got this course that will fast-track you to success. And if you want to extend the house, we've got this design, that design. Choose what is convenient to you. There are so many things that the blue corner, the culture, the society, the social media, the humanity has to say about significance and success, what it looks like, is my life got meaning, all that sort of stuff. In the red corner, I stumbled into John 17 verse 4. I think it is on the screen. Jesus praying to God, saying, I've brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. That, to use the boxing terminology, I think it not just winded me, it completely knocked me off my feet. And I'll explain why. Later, legal term, busted. And I've come to this place, reading that verse, with my crisis is probably a bit over-dramatized. I take it from the blue corner, ask the red corner, hey, what do you think about all of this? Get that verse, and man, I am guilty as charged of wrong focus. I've realized that I've become this sucker for the cultural pull that says society has put success on display, and significance on display, that, you know, you've lived a good life, if you can make fast money, if you can get the dream job, if you can live with convenience in your life, you can enjoy entertainment and learn to relax. I've become that sucker for culture, the cultural pull. That John 17 verse 4 has nothing to say about that. I say John 17:6. It's John 17:4. Who knew? My mental space has been given, that first picture, the second picture, told you what that verse has done to my brain. The best analogy I can give is I'll tell you a story, thanks, Taylor, of two castles. There are two castles. Thank you. Sometimes I work in pictures. Some of you know what that's like, and others, just come along for the ride. It's all good. Imagine you have two castles. God is in one. I am in the other. Now, when I was 8, thank you, Tila, I gave my life to God, and I built the connecting wall joining my castle to his castle. And we've been like that ever since. And when I turned 18, I started to work full-time to keep my castle running because it needs maintenance. But as I went along with keeping my castle running, I started to dream about the potential in my castle. I started to get excited about it. And I'd read magazines and books and photos of other people's castles and see what other people's castles looked like. I thought, oh, they look like really good castles. I wish I could have a castle just like theirs. Castles that had great careers in them and good holidays and dream jobs. And I'd watch motivational videos that say, after all, you need a dream, a big dream for your castle. And if you're thinking, maybe I just left God to the side. No, I didn't. I asked God to come over to my castle and help me build my castle. Because I really wanted him to help me fulfill my dreams for my castle. But don't worry, because I'm a good guy. I would visit God's castle because I like to check out the scenes, and I'd even help with his castle now and again. I'd help with the playlist, getting the tunes just right. I'd even chat to some of the guests. I'd invite people to his castle, but all the while, my mind would still be back in my castle about how I could make my castle bigger. Guarantee that some of you are listening tonight thinking of what you've got to do tomorrow. That picture, that verse, John 17:4, is starting to wreck me into thinking, have I completely missed the point of focus of what my life is supposed to focus on? Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with dreams, there's nothing wrong with ambition, there's nothing wrong with desire, but have I totally missed the point of a successful and significant life? There's a story in Haggai, which is one of the smallest books in the Old Testament. It's a prophetic book. And chapter 1, God essentially pulls these top dogs in Judah up. He kind of reins them in and says, look, hey guys, look, you're building your castles. It's great. Well, what about mine? I love your houses, but I could do with some help. And guilty, like I feel more and more like, not comfortable, eh? Could I answer these questions the same way I answer the questions about my dreams? What are my dreams for my relationship with God? What goals do I have? What goals am I pursuing for growing his church? Where do I see God's kingdom coming in my life in 5 years' time? Where do you see your life in 5 years' time? Where do you see God's kingdom coming in your life in 5 years' time? What gets me going about the world out there who need to know that Jesus loves them? Am I driven with a passion for those questions the same way I'm driven about the extension of my house and the dream job and the holidays? I don't think so. Sad thing is, I know which thing will matter 50, 100, 200, 300 years from now. It ain't my career. Now, on the happy note, I'm going to talk about comedians. Because I love stand-up comedy. And I love a good laugh. I actually, having said all of that, this is therapy. I love laughing. One of the great things to come out of my UK trip, and I tell most people that it's not that I can't cry, I just don't cry. Man, I cried in the UK trip, but it was just laughing so hard. I couldn't stop it. My brothers are ridiculously funny. My friends who I got to hang out with, it was so special, and there were so many tears wept in laughter. And I love watching stand-up comedy. And kind of dissecting, like, it's not just like I'll watch it and I generally don't laugh a lot, except the joke is really funny, but I like looking at, you know, how the joke was constructed and what did they do, why is that funny and how did that work. But comedians and some stand-up comedy is a really crass, and there's a lot of bad stand-up comedy out there. There's some really good stuff too, but the great thing is that regardless of how good or bad or even ugly stand-up comedy gets, stand-up comedians have this unique ability for making you see things different. They have this weird, unique perspective on life, which is really fascinating. Now, a few weeks ago, we did Father's Day. The theme was... Cheers, Dad. Thank you. Now, I should apologize. This is going to sound really bad. I listened to your sermon. I really did. You know the word behind... That's right. Thank you. You got it early. The word behind Pastor Roger's sharing was the word cheers. Now, I was sat there and I listened to the message. Just want to make it clear, I listened. As I listened, and I was listening, I couldn't help... it was a God thing. I couldn't help but notice, you could do some stuff with that cheers. Like, if you rotate the C, it becomes a U. If you rotate a little bit further, it becomes an N. If you rotate the H, it becomes an I. If you rotate one of those E's, it becomes an M. If you start doing that, thank you, Tila, you can start to create some words. That's French, by the way. And I was listening. I listened. And actually, this is part of the reason our journey coming to an end with road cycling was actually Pastor Roger's challenge during the Father's Day message about dads, look, being there for your children. I was listening. But it's a God thing, it must be. I couldn't stop myself from looking and thinking of all the different words you could create with just a handful of little letters. A ream of paper. We don't use that word anymore. It was a different way of thinking about it. Of, you know, sometimes you get given something and sometimes you think, what happens if you're like, you know, in worship music, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'm going to now. You know how when we sing the non-words, it's always whoa or oh. It's never zzz or ba-ba-ba. Why not? Somebody at some point in the history of worship music came up with the idea of whoa. And somebody else thought, that's good. And someone else went, doo, la, la. And it's, no, we won't do that. And for the rest of Christian music from here on out, is never going to sing that. Poor guy who went, doo, la, la, or beep, bop, bop. It could have worked, but it didn't. We settled on whoa. And whoa's good, it's fine. It's funny, like, it actually, it's not in the dictionary. You don't know what it means, but we all know what it means. Go for it. It's an alternative way of thinking about the same thing. when we went to the UK, we flew into Heathrow, and it's the first time that Israel Medeiros have flown. Braden had flown to Wellington when he was, but like, yay high. And it ended pretty badly. We had the last two, they were so excited about watching movies on the flight. And so they watched these movies, and Maddie Rose did not give Marion barely any sleep. And I had Brayden next to me, and he slept pretty well on the first flight, and I bagsied him for the second. And we got about 2 hours from London, and Israel and Brayden just hit the floor. They were just zonked. They were out. They fell asleep. not to be woken. But descents into an airport can do funny things to your unconsciousness. And they woke up and it got loud because they were not comfortable. And it resulted in a lot of noise, a lot of crying, and a lot of really annoying looks from like the air hostesses and stuff like that. And yeah, doubtless there were people on the flights just looking around this thing. Now, to a parent hearing that, it's easy to think, oh, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. And it got worse because we got off the plane and the crying did not stop and we got through customs. It got so bad that one of the customs staff said, is your son okay? Now, if a British stranger asks another stranger if your child is okay, you know that that's a problem. British people don't inquire about strangers' well-being. That's just not done. It was that bad. But doubtless some of you, I'd like to think most of you, because you're a lovely crowd, are thinking, oh, you poor guys. It was brilliant. It got so bad. We were fast-tracked through. We got business class treatment on economy fare flights. It was marvelous. And I thought, next time going through, I should pinch them and see what happens. Something powerful about just shifting the perspective, just a little. Like mine this morning, David and Goliath. You know, the Israelites look at Goliath and think, he's so big, how can we get him? Yeah, David looks at Goliath, he says, he's so big, how can I miss? The verse, John 17, verse 4, gives me the blueprint of the life that is significant. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. If I want to live that significant, successful, making it well-living life, get busy doing God's work. Which then makes me think, well, what if? Yeah, because God gives you dreams, goals, ambitions, desires. And the Bible has things to say about them, giving God the desires of your heart. There's nothing wrong with that. What if those dreams and goals and ambitions were not the end in and of themselves? What if they are simply the means to fulfill the job? What if even I gave myself permission to let my dreams and goals and ambitions change to suit the job? What if, to use the analogy, because we're doing big analogies, my castle became my shed, good for tools to use in his castle? The biggest question I find when you read something like John 17:4 and Jesus is talking about, I've done the work you gave me to do. Jesus say, yeah, it's easy for you, Jesus. You knew that your job. You knew you're omniscient. Omniscient is knowing everything. I think it is. Omnipotent, omniscient. I get the two confused. Anyway, it's easy for Jesus to say, I've done the work. He's Jesus. What's the work? And there are specifics, and God does work in specifics. But it all, regardless of the specifics of your work, it comes back to a labor of love. The Bible is this labor of love, and it's difficult, and it's passionate, and it's highs and lows, but it's consistent. God loves. And one of the best places that I've found that expresses that is actually in a Queen song. Thank you, Taylor. These are Freddie Mercury lyrics to the song Somebody to Love. Now, this is verse 2. It says, I work hard every day of my life. I work till I ache in my bones. At the end, I take home my hard-earned pay all on my own. I get down on my knees and I start to pray till the tears run down from my eyes. Lord, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love? Bet you're thinking of the tune Nathan Ash. It's all right, so am I. Now, isn't it funny how some of the most profound Christian thoughts come from some of the bizarre places? Like, he gets it. I've got it all. I work hard. I've built my castle and I'm miserable. I've got to love someone. And if you're stumped about, well, who am I supposed to love? Because the song doesn't end in a happy ending. There's no conclusion to the song. It doesn't get to the end and he's found somebody to love. It ends on a cliffhanger of somebody. If you're looking, who am I supposed to love and what's this work I'm supposed to do here, look left. No, really, look left. And look right, across the aisle. Now look behind you, if there is anyone behind you, and look a row forward. I've given you at least three people. God has given you at least three people. They're your work. What are you going to do with that? But that's not enough, because, I mean, I can do this, but even my best efforts don't always change my mind. Like I said, my problem, and I don't know if I'm alone here, but I can be sitting in church thinking about work, or sitting in church thinking about home, or the thing that I've got to go back to. What can change my mind? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Thanks, Tila. Says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And by pattern of this world, you can put in, you know, cultural values, social media, society, peer opinions. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's just the first half of that verse. I love the bit where it says be transformed. It doesn't say transform yourself. It's not... I hit a brick wall if transforming my mind is all up to me and my effort. Thankfully, I have a relational God. And all he is waiting for is my invite to his power. I'm about done, but this is my therapy. That I need help viewing significance and success and sometimes even failure with better eyes. Dreams, ambitions, they have their place. I think I've put mine in the wrong one. Trouble is, that if I go, like I said, into the blue corner, there's a world out there who will praise me putting my dreams, hopes and ambitions with them and building it on that. But we need help in a world to be different in a world that's becoming the same. So I think I'll pray and then we'll go on. And thank you so much for being the most beneficial and cheapest therapy I could have possibly asked for tonight. I hope you got something from it. We'll pray and then we'll carry on. Yeah, God, thank you very much that your idea of kingdom and castle and hopes and dreams, your dreams are so much bigger and better. And we want to get in line with that. I confess that I've dreamt and thought very small. And I want to take my place in your great plan. And I pray that for us here, we would likewise... we wouldn't become sucker to cultural pull, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and it would change our perspective on life and love and people, and it would transform the world, because that's what we want to see. We want to see people one for you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think we should clap for that one. Yeah. That's very good, Ed. Certainly was thought-provoking, wasn't it? How about if we stand and...